Hear the promises of God. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. All who believe in me, though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Friends, we have gathered this day in the presence of God to bring the thanksgiving of our hearts and memories to the Lord of Earth. Thanksgiving for the life of Gene Taylor. On behalf of his church, First Christian Church, and behalf of his family, I bid you welcome this day to a celebration of all that Gene was and is for those who loved him most. We have come this day mindful of our emptiness, aware that we will miss Gene, aware that our lives are a little bit less bright because he is not here to laugh with us, to talk with us, to cry with us. Yet we gather this day as God's people, while aware of the frailty of our own existence on earth, we have come in the certain faith of knowing that though Gene's earthly life is over, his eternal life will go on with the Lord. And so we celebrate indeed the gift of life, the gift of love given by God. I'm Reverend McBride, the pastor here at First Christian Church, and I'd like to introduce to you Dr. Bryant Badger, the former pastor of our congregation who knew Gene for many years when Bryant served as the minister here for 25 years. And Bryant will offer our opening prayer.
Following our invocation, let's join together in praying the Lord's Prayer together, using the word sins rather than debts or trespasses, as is our custom. Would you bow with me in prayer? Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you are the Alpha and the Omega of all creation and of our daily lives. And we've gathered together in Jesus' holy name to remember and to celebrate the long and fruitful life of our Christian brother, Gene Taylor, on this, the anniversary of his birth. Lord, we are here today with thoughts of life and death on our minds. We seek your help as we struggle with blessed memories and feelings and doubts and fears, and our confident faith in you and your promises that Gene deeply believed. Give us comfort during these worshipful moments. And with the passing of time, we pray you'll turn our sorrow to rejoicing at the new life you have given to your faithful servant and our friend and relative. As we who are left face life each new day, give us hope and wisdom that, trusting in you to guide us, we may finally come to the place you have prepared for those who die in faith, where we will be at home with you and those who have gone before us in eternal joy and love. So hear us now as we pray together as Jesus taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I would invite you to turn in the hymnal to number 340. This is a song that Gene himself chose for us to sing this day that speaks of his great faith in Christ our Lord. Softly and tenderly, we will sing verses 1 and 3.
Thank you. Will you join me as we hear together two passages of Scripture, one from the Old and one from the New Testament? The Old Testament is taken from the third chapter of Ecclesiastes, beginning with the first verse. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. And then moving to the New Testament, the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter, verses 1 through 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. May God bless to us the reading of his word.
Today is a time of both looking back and looking ahead into the future. Today we look back over the events of Gene's life. We remember those moments that we shared together with him in worship and work in service to the community and in family gatherings. We also look ahead as people of faith to that time when we will see him again, when our time on earth has ended and we too, like Gene, are called home to heaven, where believers in Christ are welcomed with open arms by God, who will wipe every tear from our eyes. The Old Testament scripture from Ecclesiastes is a selection from what is known as wisdom literature. It's a piece of poetry that speaks of all the seasons of life. The passage we heard from Revelation speaks of a time in the future when life on earth is ended and we are united with God. In these words of Scripture, we hear both a time past as we reflect on the wisdom of Gene's life, and we anticipate a time yet to come. To everything, there is a season, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to weep, and a time to laugh. Today is a time such as this, a time when we both weep for our own missing of Gene, and yes, even laugh, as we will share stories of his life and the way he blessed us. Throughout all the times of his life, Gene knew the love of the Lord and honored the gifts that God had placed within him. Herbert Gene Taylor was born in Plains, Kansas, on June 6, 1921, the eldest son of Herbert R. and Maureen Little Taylor. A few years later, his little sister, Betty, was born. The final addition to the family 13 years after Jean was Brother Richard, who is with us today. While Jean grew up in Kansas during the tough times of the Great Depression, the family felt fortunate, as Herbert had a steady job as a postal carrier. In 1937, the family moved from Plains to Wichita, where Jean attended high school at North High, participating in band and glee club before graduating in 1940. Jean attended Wichita University, worked for TWA, and then joined the U.S. Weather Bureau to be stationed at Rapid City, South Dakota. He served as the radio sound supervisor in North Platte, Nebraska, before being transferred to Casper in 1945. It was while he was working for the FAA as a meteorologist with the National Weather Service that he met Connie M. McGuire. That Scottish boy was taken by the Irish girl. You see, they worked next door to each other. Can you picture a young woman perhaps typing with headphones on to record the latest weather report when a handsome young man steps through the door from FAA to get briefings on the latest weather and find out whether the pilots could fly? They were married in 1946 at First Christian Church in our congregation's previous building on South Grant Street. Both Jean and Connie were dedicated members of First Christian Church. Jean sang in the choir, taught Sunday school, actively participated in his shepherding group with Paul Halleck, and served as a deacon and elder of our church. Jean took great pride in assisting other members of the congregation to build this sanctuary where we've gathered today. Just yesterday, our congregation held a graveside service for another member of the church, Jack Riley. For many years, Jack and Jean worked closely together, running the radio ministry of First Christian, broadcasting weekly services from a little booth just the other side of this window. Ecclesiastes speaks of a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to tear down and a time to build. Not only did Jean play a key role in helping our congregation relocate and build a new sanctuary, he also assisted with the move of the weather station to Natrona County Airport, the former Casper Army Air Base. Before the move, he worked at the weather station at Wardwell Field and had vivid memories of the winter of 49. If you were here then, you know what that means. The weather service ran three shifts every day, from 12 to 8, 8 to 4, and 4 to midnight. Jean worked all three shifts at different times. He retired from the weather service in 1978 with 30 years given. After retirement, he went to work at Hilltop Bank as a mail clerk for 10 years. He was a member of the WW2 Casper JCs, AARP, and the National Association of Retired Federal Employees. There is a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Jean and Connie shared all these times of life. They were married for 49 years before she passed away in 1995. As a young couple, the Taylors wanted children but were unable to have any, and so they decided to adopt a child. In 1961, at the age of 40, they flew to Spokane, Washington, and brought home a baby boy who would change their world. Dad always told Larry that they had not planned on having an only child, but once they got him, he was enough. I imagine that means both that little Larry could be a handful and that their hearts were filled with love. No matter his age, Dad could give Larry the look. And a couple words was all it took to keep him in line. Gene enjoyed following Larry's sports activities and cheered him on at track meets and basketball games. The family had a wonderful home that they expanded through the years, changing a carport into a garage and then into an additional room for the house, placing a garage where the garden used to be. And oh, that garden. It had green beans and corn, rhubarb, carrots, tomatoes, garlic, parsley, and the wonderful flower beds, especially those where Jean lovingly tended roses. Jean lived in the same house for almost exactly 60 years before he moved to Park Place for the last 5 months of his life. In addition to work, family, and church, much of Jean's time was devoted to masonry. He was a 33rd degree Mason, the highest honor received in the Scottish Rite. He was a life member of Casper Lodge No. 15. He was a dedicated member of the Korean Oriental Band, where he played the musette, a reeded horn with an oriental sound. For many years, the family's vacations centered around traveling with the Shriner Band for competitions across the U.S. They pulled a travel trailer from Calgary all over Canada, from Texas to California to Washington State and beyond. Each year, there would be two family trips, one with the Shrine Club and one to see family in Iowa and Kansas. The times of Jean's life included seasons of health and times of struggle. He had open-heart surgery twice, 10 years apart, having both heart valves replaced. He encouraged others in the recovery from heart surgery by joining the Mended Hearts group. He served on the board of the Senior Center and was quite active there. It was at a Valentine's Day event at the Senior Center in 1996 when he met Betty Lou Cox. Larry recalls that seeing his widowed dad with Betty was like watching a teenager fall in love. Betty and Jean had a wonderful relationship. They shared many interests, including genealogy and travel, taking two trips to Scotland together. Betty was a loving companion as they shared the simple joy of walking along the river with the dogs, with Asia. And they supported each other in days of declining health before she passed away from cancer. Jean is survived by his son, Larry C. Taylor, and Larry's wife, Regina of Casper. Four grandchildren, Nicole, Ray, Dusty, and Jesse. Two great-granddaughters. His sister, Betty M. Peek, and brother, Richard C. Taylor, both of Wichita, Kansas, and a number of nieces and nephews, and many dear friends. For the last 15 years or so, Jean kept defying the call to go. Though he fought prostate cancer, diabetes, and had a seizure, he continued to hold on tight to life. Finally, the time came to let go. And Jean closed his eyes in peace to go to that place where there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, to dwell with God in the holy city. After a brief hospital stay and a short time at hospice, Jean went to heaven with his loving, devoted son at his side. We give thanks this day to God for the life, both earthly and eternal, of Herbert Jean Taylor. May he rest in peace with the Lord. There are many ways of paying tribute to those that we love. There are times that our tribute is spoken aloud with words. There are other times that we are aware no words can fully sum all the love we have for one who has gone before. This afternoon, I would invite us to give a simple tribute to Jean in a moment of silence. And it may be that during this time of silence, you recall a special memory from your life, from your time with Jean, that you would like to share with his family. Following the service today, there will be a reception, an opportunity to tell stories, to celebrate Jean's life. If you're not a speaker, and perhaps you're better with the written word, then I would offer this opportunity. In the pew rack in front of you, there are cards that have a picture of the church on one side and they're blank on the other. If there is a story that you want to write down so Larry can read it later at his own time, I'd invite you during this time of silence to take one of those cards and write a note about what Jean meant to you. Let us offer our tribute to one dearly loved in a moment of shared silence. Holy and gracious God, in the sound of silence, we hear our own breathing, and we are aware what a fragile, precious gift life is. We thank you, God of life, for the life that you breathed into Herbert Jean Taylor. We thank you for the ways in which he knew you and served you. In this moment, Lord, write on our hearts, in the indelible ink of permanent memory, the precious gift that Jean was for each one gathered here. Through written word and spoken word, through shared silence and song, we bring to you, O God, our praises, our simple word of thanks for the gift of Jean. We ask, Lord, that for hearts still heavy with sorrow, you would bring your healing. As our earthly lives continue, in moments of emptiness, may we be filled with your love and reminded anew that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor human imagination envisioned the glory that awaits all who trust in you through Jesus Christ our Lord. We give you our heartfelt thanks and praise, O God, for Jean, and ask that he may now hear the Master say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. As a tribute to his lifelong interest and service with the Masons, Jean's Masonic brothers will now present their rites.
I think I'm going to wake everybody up. Good afternoon. We're from Casper Lodge number 15, which is Jean's home lodge. I would really like to thank this church at this time for allowing us to participate. I know Jean loved Masons, and I know that he loved this church, and I am just absolutely flattered that we are able to participate in this service. At this time, I'd like to turn the microphone over to the president of the Casper Shrine Club and the secretary of our lodge, Bill Biggs, so that he may give you Jean's Masonic history.
Jean Taylor was born June 6th, 1921. And it was initiated on June 24th, 1942, in Albert Pike Lodge number 303 in Wichita, Kansas. He was passed with the degree of a fellowcraft on July 15th, 1942. He was raised to a Master Mason on October 31st, 1942. He demitted from Albert Pike Lodge on November 10th, 1954, and affiliated with Casper Lodge number 15 on May 25th, 1955. He became a life member of Casper Lodge number 15. He was a Blue Lodge Mason for 67 years. He was our perennial lodge chaplain, a mentor, a ritualist, an all-around good guy in Blue Lodge. In the Scottish Rite Masonry, he was initiated and received his 14th through 32nd degree November 16 through 19 in 1942 in Wichita, Kansas. He joined the Wyoming Scottish Rite the 1st of April, 1968. However, he was the president of the Central Wyoming Consistory Club in 1967. He received his Knight's Commander of the Court of Honor October 26, 1971. He received his 50-year Scottish Rite pin and hat in 1992. He received his 33rd degree honorary on the 3rd of October, 2001. He was a director of the 26th degree for as many years I can't find when he wasn't. He was our Feast of Tishrei host and coordinator, secretary of the Casper Club, and he was president of it only one time, but you always found him on the sidelines, working and supporting the officers. He also was a member of the Scottish Rite Research Society. Within the York Rite Masonry, he belonged to Capital Chapter Number 8, Wyoming Council Number 1, and Apollo Commandery Number 8. A companion and Sir Knight of many facets. He never set the chairs in our bodies, but he was a member and a sideliner and helped in our festivals every year. For the shrine, he was created a noble in November of 1966. He played the musette for the Oriental Band. He went through the line of officers for the Oriental Band multiple times. He was the band's historian. I've been told he was also the coordinator for some of the road trips. He was also president of the Sands End Club. He was also the Casper Shrine Club chaplain for many, many years and a member of the Royal Order of Jesters. He is a brother, a companion, a Sir Knight, and a noble.
Brother Chaplain, would you lead us in prayer? Would all Masons please rise? The rest of you may remain seated.
The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us and give us peace. And unto him, the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
You may be seated. From time immortal, it has been the custom of ancient free and accepted Masons to accompany a body to its final resting place, and in this case, to honor him in his final moments. We are gathered in the character of Masons to consign his body to the elements from whence it come, and to offer up the last tribute of our sincere affections, thereby demonstrating that steady attachment that we owe to the noble principles of our institution. One of the most profound problems of human life, and one of the most pathetic cries of the human soul to those who do not believe in the immortality of the soul, throughout the ages has been, if man dies, shall his soul live again in eternity? To these non-believers, death is formed but a fearful leap into the darkness, and the river of death is formed deep and troubled waters of agony and despair, with the farther shore enshrouded in the deepest gloom. Such travelers of earth who have journeyed down to its shadowy banks have vainly peered out into the darkness to receive one assuring ray of light from the other side. They have come upon the dread ferryman without even one ray of hope to guide them. One reason that we've become so accustomed to look with so much terror upon death in this age is because we have forgotten the deep and earnest faith of our ancestors. We now determine that through media and other benefits that people should be afraid of death. But our ancestors, in their deep and earnest faith, looked forward to the passing because they knew that the soul never died. That Gene's body, like everybody's body, is just a garment. One that clothes his soul for a time, and therefore it is very much entitled to our due reverence and respect. The soul never dies. The body is just a garment. And the soul passes on through eternity into beautiful worlds beyond which this beautiful physical world of ours can bear no manner of comparison. Between the visible and the invisible, between earth and heaven, lays no impassable gulf.
What man is he that shall liveth and not see death? Shall he save his soul from the hand of the grave?
Man walks in a vain shadow. He heaps up riches and knows not who will gather them.
Whither he dies, he can carry nothing away. His glory does not descend with him.
Naked, he came into this world, and naked, he must return.
The Lord hath given, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
God is our God forever. He is our guide even unto death.
Almighty Father in heaven, unto thy care, we command the spirit of Brother Gene Taylor. Let us pray.
Almighty Father, when our journey shall be near its end, when the silver cord be loosed and the golden bowl be broken, when the light of life is fading and the shadows of eternity are creeping upon us, may the brightness of thy presence dispel the gathering gloom until the glories of the celestial city burst upon our immortal vision, until we clasp hands once more with our translated brother. May the benediction of thy loving favor, sweet as the dews that fell on Hermon, soothe the anguished hearts of these, our brothers' loved ones, and lead them unto the way everlasting, and to the one invisible and everlasting God, without beginning of years or end of days, be all the glory, world without end. Amen.
So will it be.
The lambskin, or white leather apron, is an emblem of innocence and the badge of a mason. More ancient than the golden fleece or Roman eagle. More honorable than the star and garter when worthily worn. I place this emblem with the remains of our brother. By it we remember that purity of life and conduct essentially necessary to gaining admission to that celestial lodge above where the supreme architect of the universe presides.
This glove is a symbol of fidelity, emblematical of that Masonic friendship which binds us to Brother Jean. And though mortal eyes shall see him not again, we are reminded that by the steady practice of the noble orders of our noble tenets of our order, and a firm faith in God, and a steadfast trust in the Supreme Architect, we hope to once again clasp his hand in friendship and love. What virtue unites, death never parts.
The sprig of evergreen, which once marked the temporary resting place of one illustrious in Masonic history, is emblematical of our belief in the immortality of the soul. It reminds us that we have an immortal part within us, a part that shall survive the grave, a part that shall never, 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 never die. It admonishes us also that, like our brother, we too shall soon be clothed in the habiliments of death and laid within the silent tomb. Yet, through our belief in the mercies of God, we may confidently hope that our souls will bloom again in the eternal spring. Alas, my brother,
alas, my brother.
Alas, my brother. Alas, my brother.
Alas, my brother. We cherish his memory here. We commend his soul to God who gave it. We consign his body to the elements from whence it comes. Forasmuch as it has pleased the Almighty Father of the universe to take the soul of our departed brother, I commend his body to the earth. Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And now may the blessings of heaven rest upon us and all Masons. May brotherly love prevail and every moral and social virtue cement us. And I'll turn it back to you.
May I remind you that we're all invited to a reception to visit with the family downstairs. And now let us receive the benediction as written by the Apostle Paul. And now may the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Amen.
Service. I'll be taking the family downstairs and I'll be happy to greet you down there. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.